today of Thy presence and power. Even in our thoughts again, as we have recalled the moment when the disciples sat down at Jesus' feet, their hearts as yet unprepared to receive and understand His Word. Yet at that precise moment, the Lord opened the eyes of their understanding. Lord, Thou hast the key to the book. And we thank Thee that Thou canst cause Thy Word to come to life in our very hands. We thank Thee that Thou canst melt away the scales that too frequently blind our eyes, cause us to see. Lord, grant especially today that there may be nothing in us to hinder the free working of Thy Holy Spirit. Do, Lord, open our eyes, that we may behold wondrous things from out of Thy law. We pray that we may learn of Thee. Help us to sit down at the feet of Jesus. May we have the hearing ear, the understanding heart. Give, Lord, that kind of wisdom which not only understands the words spoken, but which applies to everyday life the word that the Lord shall give. Oh, let us learn to live with eternity's values in view. Lord, grant especially help in the preaching of Thy Word. May the Word of God come with such clarity and unction that those who are unprepared to meet the Lord may see their need this day of making that preparation. Lord, bring sinners to the foot of the cross. Give to us a personal word for those who are out of Christ. Help us to preach the gospel. We pray for a word to those who are not what they ought to be for the Lord. And a word also, a word in season for those who desire to go on with Thee. O Lord, smile upon us. Put Thy Spirit upon Thy people. Grant us unction this day in the declaration of Thy Word. May we have the Spirit of the Lord as the one standing alongside of us in the ministry of the things of God. We bless Thee that He is the Comforter. And we pray that in prayer as He is called alongside of us this day, that He may open the Word, that He may open to us a door of utterance, that He may cause the Word of the Lord to go home to every heart with power. Hear and answer prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Already we have been pointing out the difference between the double amens of the New Testament and the double amens of the Old Testament. As you may recall, in the Old Testament, the amens are doubled at the close of an important utterance. In the New Testament, the order's completely changed. The double amen stands in first place in the utterance. The double amen is the first thing uttered by the Lord. And we find 25 times over in the Gospel of John this peculiar usage of the double amen by our Savior. The last verse of John chapter 1, and you can pick out the double amen, not in the usual recognizable form, but this time translated as verily. We're entitled to read the word amen there in place of the word verily. It might help us to do so, in fact. We have become so familiar with many of the words of our Lord in the Gospel of John that this double emphasis of the amen that the Lord places upon these special utterances of His, they tend to go unnoticed, and that would be most unfortunate. Surely when the Lord puts double emphasis on certain truths that He teaches, on certain things that He has to say to us in this key gospel, surely it behoves us to read then those words with all the attention that that emphasis requires. There is then a double emphasis put by the Lord on 25 utterances through the Gospel of John. That double emphasis is a double amen. In John 1 and 51, our Savior is speaking to Nathanael. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, or Amen, Amen. And if we stop to repeat what we have already asserted, here is the Amen of Christ, the seal of the Lord, and a double seal at that, on this utterance to Nathanael. Amen. Amen. I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. We occupied our time last Lord's Day with this verse. We will do no more today than point out to you that the first utterance of the Lord carrying this double emphasis proclaims an open door to heaven. You can see the essential importance of what the Lord is teaching now. This gospel is the key to heaven's door. If we are suggesting to an unconverted but anxious soul that he learns the way to life, that he reads the Word of God with a view to his being brought to Christ, we invariably recommend to him the reading of this gospel. For as we understand, the gospel of John is in itself the key to heaven's door. We recommend likewise that the young believer make a close and systematic study of this gospel. That those also who are not so sure how they stand with God, who are lacking in assurance of salvation, that they too scan these chapters and study the utterances of Christ, especially in this fourth gospel. The gospel of John. Let's remember this. Let's remember it as clearly as we can remember anything. The gospel of John is the key to heaven's door. Is it not a striking thing that in the first emphasis, the first words of double emphasis, where our Lord Jesus Christ is speaking concerning the way of salvation, that this double emphasis is placed upon an open door to heaven. Here the Lord is taking the key of salvation, fitting it in the lock, and opening up the door to glory. To the sinner born in the state of nature, far away from God, walking the way of the world, heaven is closed. He's not on praying ground. He cannot come to God. There's no common ground between him and the God of heaven. He stands condemned in the presence of God, a sinner, unclean through and through. He comes into the presence of one infinitely holy, and he cannot stand before an infinitely holy God unless he occupies redemption ground. It is only in Christ that he can be accepted in the presence of God. It's only in Christ that heaven's door is opened. And oh, what a wonderful truth is emphasized to us here in this, the opening chapter of John's gospel. The open way of life into the glory, the open door to heaven. And that door, Christ himself. And the double emphasis of Christ is on the open door to heaven. When our Lord died on the tree, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, proclaiming an open way of access into the immediate presence of God, away to the mercy seat itself. And Christ in this gospel, with his double amen, is saying with certainty to the sinner,
that there is a way back to God from the dark paths of sin, that a door has been opened where all may go in, that at Calvary's cross is where we begin when we come as a sinner to Jesus. So the gospel is good news. It proclaims, first of all, an open door to heaven. Our first parents on their sin, were excluded from the garden in Eden. The door was shut into the paradise of God from that moment on. But in Christ, the last Adam, the second man from heaven, the door into the glory is swung wide open. Hereafter ye shall see heaven open. In chapter 3, the double amen of Christ is to be noted in the third verse with evident connection. For the Lord not only tells us of an open door to heaven, He shows us how to get there. And this second reference to the double amen of Christ, John 3:3, tells the sinner who stands looking in through the opening door of heaven, tells him how to get there. And in the words of our Lord Jesus, in verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, the Lord is speaking here to Nicodemus. There's the double amen of Christ. Amen, amen, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So in the second double amen of John's Gospel, the Lord Jesus proclaims the secret of that salvation. Tells us how to get there. And emphasizes the necessity of the new birth. The first time the amen is used and translated verily in the Gospels ought not to be lost sight of. Matthew 5:18. The Lord Jesus, Matthew 5, if you care to turn up the passage, Matthew 5:18, the Lord Jesus puts His divine amen in the first place in His utterance. This time it's used singly. And the Lord is putting His divine seal upon His own infallible word. For verily I say unto you, amen, I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle in no wise shall pass from the law till all be fulfilled. The Lord takes one amen and uses that with emphasis as His own divine seal upon the veracity, the infallibility, the certainty of the Word of God. The amen of Christ is His affirmation of the inspiration of the Word of God. Not a jot or a tittle shall pass until all be fulfilled. Our Lord puts one amen upon the testimony of Holy Scripture to make that testimony absolutely sure and certain. But when it comes to a matter of teaching the entrance to heaven, the means of getting there, He uses the double amen. Hence we may draw the conclusion, if we can be sure, absolutely sure, that the seal of Christ is placed upon His infallible and everlasting Word, how certain then can we be of the necessity of the new birth, which carries the double amen of Christ. And let us go to this reference in John's Gospel and note especially the emphasis of the Lord on the necessity of the new birth, the necessity which we must urge upon every lost sinner in this congregation now. the necessity, the absolute necessity of being born again. If you're going to inherit the kingdom of grace, if you're going to enter in through the gates of the glory, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot." And with the word "except," as the Lord introduces it here, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The Lord is stressing the absolute necessity of being born again. You cannot become a Christian without the experience of the new birth. You cannot be a partaker of the things of Christ without being born of God, except a man be born again. This absolute necessity for the new birth carries the double seal of Christ upon it. But if you study this chapter, you find that our Lord Jesus Christ gives us three times over the double amen as he teaches the new birth. It is not just a matter of saying the Lord is putting one double amen on the absolute certainty of the experience of regeneration, the necessity of being born of God, but three times over, if you'll note in the fifth verse, how our Lord comes back to the subject, and once more with the double amen. Now, if the double amen of Christ invites you to consider the emphasis the Lord puts on this utterance, what are we to think of the subject he brings to our attention when he, for the second time, uses the double amen? And when, on top of that, for the third time, he uses the double amen? And if you come to the fifth verse, you have the second instance in this chapter. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." The double amen of Christ for the second time, dealing with the same subject, the experience of the new birth. How the Lord emphasizes for us all, there is no possibility of any man, of any woman, getting in through the gates of the glory without the new birth. No man or woman sitting in this congregation today has the slightest excuse in the presence of a holy God. You have not the slightest excuse for counting yourself as a Christian, as an heir of heaven, if you're still a stranger to God and a stranger to the new birth. Without being born again, Jesus Christ teaches, with this repeated double amen, nothing could be clearer. It's impossible to enter into glory. You cannot be a Christian. You cannot be admitted into God's family without being born into it. And the third reference in the 11th verse, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness." For the third time, the double amen. Christ is dealing with a sinner, religious as he is, who needs to be saved. He's a man who doesn't want, at least at first, to hear of the new birth. He can't under something beyond his comprehension. The natural mind cannot receive it. He can understand physical birth, how he received that natural life that he's in possession of, but spiritual life, he's totally ignorant of it. The religious sinner has a heart as black as hell's midnight. He's as far away from God, even though he's saying his prayers, he's practicing religion of a sort, he's as far away from God as the sinner who's a drunkard and a gambler somewhere down in the midst of the town. And the religious sinner finds difficulty in understanding what it means to be a Christian. He cannot receive it. Hence he tends to think every time he has a chance that he may somehow get into heaven as he is. He may somehow get into heaven without the new birth. But if this is a new way to take the subject of the new birth and emphasize its necessity, let me by every means available press it upon your attention today and say, surely with the double amen of Christ, when the Lord Jesus is using this emphasis and putting this seal upon the experience of the new birth, you will see that there isn't the slightest possibility, of you entering heaven as you are without the new birth. You'll not be saved religious as you are without Christ. You must be born again. And how the Lord teaches the utter necessity of the new birth through this chapter as he speaks to Nicodemus. You must be born again. You cannot see the kingdom of God without being born again. He uses the except here. Except you're born again. And on top of that comes the emphasis of the double amen. I say unto you, you can't get to heaven without the new birth. Why then will some man persevere in maintaining in the face of this scripture evidence that he can still get there? He can still get to heaven without the new birth. In the first instance, in verse 3, the Lord Jesus Christ with the double amen is showing the necessity of the new birth. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God if you're not a Christian. Pray now that the Lord will write these words unforgettably upon your heart. The necessity of the new birth. Learn that in the first instance. Know that you're a sinner. Know too that you are a lost sinner, a guilty sinner in the sight of God. Hopelessly lost, that you need the new birth, that the new birth is not a matter of choice. The new birth is an absolute necessity. You must be born again. The double amen of Christ. In the second instance, in verse 5, the Lord Jesus Christ is putting the double amen on the means of regeneration. Except a man be born of water and off the Spirit. And the water here is a symbol of the Word of God. There must be a scriptural change in his being saved. It's a scriptural regeneration. He's born according to the scripture testimony. He has scriptural grounds for believing himself to be saved. He has the best evidence. He knows he's a child of God. He knows he's going to heaven. He has the Word of God as the instrument of that new birth, that incorruptible life in his heart. And he has the Word of God as his authority, his ground of assurance that he's a child of the King. There must be a scriptural emphasis in the experience of regeneration. Moreover, he must be born of the Spirit. And this teaches a supernatural change in his life. You cannot make yourself a Christian. This is possibly why some who have had a leading influence in one false cult or another have thought to use that influence that they've had and propagate their own false teaching. They can make converts themselves. But there isn't a man who can make you a Christian. I can't make you a Christian. Some of you have sat here under plain preaching. You've listened to the Word of God with or without interest. You have certainly got the message as you've sat here with your Bible. You've learned something about the things of God, But the minister of the gospel cannot make you a Christian. You cannot make yourself a Christian. By your own effort, you cannot be a Christian. Oh, you can be religious by your own effort. You can be baptized. You can become admitted to the Lord's table in some places without being born again. You can make yourself religious. And in that context, you can make yourself a church member. You cannot make yourself a Christian. To become a Christian, you must be born of God. There's a supernatural change in the life of the man who's born of God. He's born of the Spirit. Your father and mother can't make you a Christian. Your father and mother may earnestly desire that you become a Christian. Your father and mother may pray earnestly that you will come to know the Lord. But your father and mother, with the best will in the world, cannot make you a Christian. To be a Christian, you must come to Christ and ask the Lord to save you. And on the ground of His precious Word, through showing you the Word of God, which directs you to Christ and Him crucified, to the precious blood that He shed for us on Mount Calvary, by means of the Word of God, by coming to Christ through His precious Word and asking the Lord to take you in, to save you, to wash you in His precious blood, you can be born again. And the emphasis in verse 5 is a necessity of taking the means that God has provided in order to be born again. There's a necessity on the means. You must be born of water, which is a symbol of the Word of God. And born of the Spirit, who alone can give you life, heavenly life. When you were born the first time, you received a natural life, a physical life. You were born into your own family. You took your family identity. You were naturally a member of that family because, simply, you were born into it. And you cannot come into God's family and receive of His life except you're born into God's family, born again, and you will receive, on being born again, a new life by the power of the Spirit of God. You will say, I couldn't keep this salvation. That's perfectly true. There isn't one of us here today who could keep God's salvation 5 minutes. But when you're born again of God's Spirit, you receive a new life altogether. You become a new creature in Christ Jesus. The old things pass away and all things become new. The third reference in verse 11 that our Lord Jesus Christ takes for His double amen is on the assurance of salvation. The witness of Christ is brought to our attention. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. Take the last part of that verse first. We testify that we have seen. In a matter of evidence, before one can come forward to speak, he must have personal experience. It is not admitted for one giving witness to hazard an opinion or make a guess. He must be able to testify that this is something he has seen. He can bear evidence to the matter of which he speaks. He can testify because he's a living witness to it. He has seen it. And the Lord Jesus Christ is saying here, we can testify to that which we have seen. Moreover, the witness, as we have said, isn't hazarding a guess. When he speaks, he must speak as one who knows. And our Lord Jesus Christ is saying with the double amen in the 11th verse, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen and ye receive not our witness. The evidence is here. And our Lord goes on to point out in verse 12, if he bears evidence concerning earthly things, and those words of testimony cannot be received and understood and accepted, how then will the man believe if the Lord brings evidence concerning heavenly things? Now, if we can rely on the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, when he speaks first of all concerning earthly things, if we can rest on his divine testimony, we can certainly rely on what he says concerning heavenly things, especially when he puts the double affirmation on it and says, listen, amen, amen. This testimony that I'm bringing to you concerning the new birth, the necessity of the experience, and the necessity of using the means available to bring about that experience, the place of the Word of God to show you how to come, the work of the Spirit of God to produce that supernaturally effected change in your life to make you a new creature. I can there witness Christ as saying of earthly things, of how a child is born, of how the wind moves, that mysterious force that we cannot see but we recognize its presence when it's there. And Christ likens this to being born of the Spirit. The natural eye can't perceive the work of God in the heart when the sinner bows his knee and prays the sinner's prayer and says, Lord, save me. That's something I can't see. I can't see the Spirit of God working within, effecting the change, making that soul a new creature in Christ Jesus. But I know it has been done. Many a time as I have risen from my knees, and you will have had the like experience if you've had the privilege of pointing a soul to Christ, and you've risen from your knees, and you've closed the book and said, amen. You may have had the assurance that the work has been done, and that soul is born of God. The double seal of Christ is upon this divine testimony, remember, concerning the new birth. Three times over then, in John chapter 3, there is the double amen, the double emphasis of Christ. Are we going to lose sight of it? Think nothing of it? Are we going to sit here in God's presence today and let this word so solemnly emphasized, given a double emphasis on each of the three occasions we have noted it in this chapter? And the double amen only comes up three times in John 3. Three times over in the one chapter. Let me ask you, how will you ever face the Lord in the judgment day? How will you ever face the Lord in the judgment day when you in turn will have to bear evidence and solemnly testify that you realized, you understood that three times over in the third chapter of John, our Lord Jesus gave this solemn double emphasis to the absolute necessity for you to have the new birth? Yet you passed it by. Yet you closed your ear to it. Yet you persisted in taking another way other than that way which he has so clearly laid down for you in his word. How will you face the Lord in the judgment day when you will say, Lord, I knew that three times over with a double amen in those sacred words that fell from your lips, you told me that I needed to be born again. But I passed it by. Put it out of my mind. Turned my back upon that teaching. Trampled the Word of God in all its clarity.
underfoot. How will you ever face the Lord in that great day of solemn accounting? I urge upon you now these words that Christ has placed so much emphasis on. If he took one verily, and by that one verily said, heaven and earth will pass away before one jot or tittle of this law will fail. If he put one amen upon that utterance and said, heaven and earth can pass away first before that word will fail. Tell me then, what about that solemn subject in which he speaks when three times over with a double amen, he tells you, you must be born again. Can you throw away this word as if it were a feeble gospel tract of no importance? Can you close your ears to the teaching of Christ this day? Are you going to say, I have realized now when the Lord puts this double emphasis three times over, that this is something that I need to give attention to, and I must be born again, and I cannot see the kingdom of God without the experience of the new birth. The double amen of Christ is not in the Bible for nothing, let me assure you. It is used by our Lord as a means of solemn testimony and emphasis. And when he puts it three times over on this chapter that tells us about how to get to heaven, and in the course of that emphasis he's saying you must be born again, you can't get to heaven without it, then this is a message you must receive this day with all your heart before the Lord. If you respect his divine authority at all, if you mean to recognize the deity and authority and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, then you must yield to this word and say, Lord, let me be born again. Save me this very day. Let us bow in prayer. As we bow in God's presence, let us now answer in our own hearts to this word. Let us now answer to the Lord for this word. The Lord Jesus Christ, the King of glory, has placed his own divine authority upon Holy Scripture and upon this word that concerns heaven and how to get there. Double seal of Christ. Where does the word find you? Are you saved? Must we still say that, yes, there's a man here, there's a woman in this congregation. We don't exactly know how that man or that woman stands with God. We don't know exactly how it is with their soul. What are you going to do with the word? Are you going to come to Christ today in this gospel where the Lord has shown us the open door to heaven itself? And in the next succession of amens, he tells us plainly how to get there. Doesn't that leave you without excuse? You've no excuse at all. For going out through that door there without knowing that you need to be saved, without knowing that you need the Lord now. Heed the gospel message. Come to Christ today. I'm going to ask Mr. Cairns to close with the benediction. Pray that the Lord will speak to our hearts and use his word that believers might know. In their study of these familiar words, that they do carry an emphasis not to be ignored. And even if you have to say, I've looked at this passage with a new light, studied the words of the Lord in a new aspect, You can see how important then they are.